Hello everyone, and welcome to another Windows 7 webcast here in Channel 9 Studios. With me today, John and Sebastian. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Sean Van Ness. I'm a program manager on the Windows Ribbon team.
And I'm Sebastian Perlos, developer in the Windows Ribbon team.
And as you guys probably understand, we're going to talk about the Windows Ribbon today. And we're going to take it from a different angle. We're going to talk about the Windows Ribbon markup, right? So just to start it, Sean, you know, tell us just some background history about the Ribbon.
Yeah, the Windows Ribbon is really part of a larger commanding framework that we're developing. It's about more than just ribbons, but for Windows 7, the primary focus is on the ribbon. And today we're going to take a look at the markup language that we use to author the look and layout of controls on the ribbon. Sebastian, what do you have there?
So we are going to focus on the markup and how you can author a markup to display a ribbon on your Windows application. This is a simple ribbon markup that you can use to display empty ribbon in your Windows application. And for this, I have done some setup. That is, I create a simple build rule for building the ribbon file.
So why do we need that extra step? I mean, if this is XML, what happens?
Right, we have a command line compiler that's in the SDK. The name of the compiler is IntentCL. It processes this markup into a compressed binary form that an application would load and attach to their window. Do you want to show some of the code behind, Sebastian, how we initialize the ribbon?
Yes, sure. The compiler outputs a resource file, and that is included in the application's resource file right here. And the compiler outputs another some other header files and that you include in your implementation. And then you need to implement some of the interfaces, like the IUI application. But we are not going to go in depth for that part of the implementation. Then in the application, you are initializing the ribbon and then loading the ribbon into the memory. And that's basically what you have to do to display a ribbon.
Right, so today we have no code behind this application at all except to just load the ribbon and get it to display. So what happens if we run this bare minimum empty ribbon application?
There you go.
All right.
And this is the empty ribbon that we just authored, and it has a application menu which is empty. It has a tab which is again empty because we didn't specify anything, and it has a QAT as well. And everything is functional, but we haven't added anything, and it's empty.
So basically, this is the basic construct for your, even before the Hello World.
Yeah, this is the empty starting canvas. Yes, even before Hello World.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and add some content to the ribbon. The top level root node there is application, and there are two major structural properties for the markup. One property there is the list of views, as you see, and we just have an empty ribbon element. The other half of the markup language is a manifest of commands. I'll go ahead and add a commands block there. And the commands block is basically just a tabular list of all the commands that you would expose in your application and expose in the ribbon. Things like cut, copy, paste, save, undo, redo, exit. All of these things are commands that can be represented in the ribbon. They can be moved to the quick access toolbar.
Okay, I'm just authoring a command that I'm going to call it a paste command that I'm going to use later. And I want to add a label title that the command uses. And the label says paste again. And some of the other interesting properties are you can add a you can add images to the command, so you can specify an image that you want to display. So in this case, I want to specify the large images that I want to use for this command, and then I want to say where the bitmap is. So I happen to have a paste image in the resources. So I just specify that, and then the image will be picked up for this command.
So developer can basically have any sort of command that they want, whatever text, mm-hmm. whatever image that they want. So,
right.
So if you run the application right now, what do you get?
Well, we still haven't added any controls or layout to the markup here. We're still just in the phase of defining the manifest of commands that the application exposes.
Yeah.
Let's switch over to the next sample we have pre-populated with a larger list of commands that we can play with.
Okay, so in this example, I'm adding a... So in this case, I'm going to uncomment this and show what it is. So I'm adding a tab into my ribbon, and I'm calling it a home tab, and then I'm adding a group in the home tab called clipboard, and in the clipboard I have paste, cut, copy, and delete commands, and in the command session I have a I already defined these commands in here. So we have the same paste command here, which has the large images and the small image. So I have one image each for both properties. And I give it a title, my paste, in here.
So I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to separate between the command definition and the layout?
That's a great question. This is part of a larger approach to developing user interface platforms that we're taking, that we informally call it the intent-based approach to designing a user interface platform, where we purposely don't give you control to change the font colors and the background colors and the margins and the border thicknesses for all the different buttons and controls in the ribbon. We want to try to keep it as simple as possible, where all the buttons adhere to standard Windows UX guidelines and accessibility guidelines and support theming properly. And all those things that you really expect from a first-class Windows platform. But we do still obviously have to have a way to provide labels and images and what you think of as the content of controls. Now what's interesting here is that we're binding the content of the controls, not to the controls themselves, but up in the commands block. And why is that? Well, we'll show a little later how it's possible to move commands around, or you might have more than one control that represents the same underlying command. And when users use the ribbon, they can themselves move controls up to the quick access toolbar. So when you're developing for the ribbon, you no longer really have precise control over where your commands appear in the user interface. But we want to have the same icons and the same labels appear uniformly for all those commands.
So the simple layout that I authored right now, it shows up in the ribbon as four controls, and these four buttons just lay out in a default way. So you can see the my paste here and the cut, copy, and delete commands, and the ribbon doesn't do anything more than this.
So what we're seeing right now is the default the default layout of the ribbon, right? So you just added the four commands and into the group, into a tab, and this is how it looks, right? Cool. And later we're going to talk a little bit about how you can actually change the layout. So if you go back to the XML, I mean, this XML, if you've been programming with WPF, it looks like, you know, very similar to XAML, right? So what's...
Yeah, exactly. It isn't really XAML. It definitely looks a lot like XAML, and that's on purpose. We worked very closely with the WPF team, who you may already know also has a ribbon component that they shipped a CTP build for right around the PDC. And we feel that, you know, XAML is a great markup format to emulate, but we also wanted to work really closely with them to make sure our markup formats, while they can never be 100% identical, are as close to each other as possible, so you can move back and forth pretty easily. And so being a XAML-based XML grammar is part of that.
Okay, so since this is very like XAML-like syntax, so we have the commands here, right? So how can you tweak with the command? What are the different properties I can change?
So these commands will be actually used by your native code to listen to the actions that are done by the controls that are using these commands. So you can so the other thing that you can use these commands for is you can specify resources for the control. So in this case, you can specify a keytip label or different images for different DPI settings or different high contrast settings, and you can also define tooltips for your control. And you can. So I'm going to just add a tooltip for this control, just to show.
So you see, the tooltip comes in two parts. There's the title and the description. This is the way tooltips are formatted in the ribbon. There's typically a small bold header in the tooltip, then a longer textual description of what the command does.
Right. So in this case, I just added a tooltip, and that's the only change I did. And we can rebuild and see what happens for the paste command. So you can see the tooltip that I just added in the markup is already showing up. So that's how you link your resources through the ribbon for your controls.
And obviously, you can do it dynamically if you need to support multi-language and other resource files.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So there are plenty of property over here. I guess some of them can control the different layout that we have.
Exactly. Well, the strings for the tooltip and the label will always be the same, but as the layout changes, we may need to retrieve a different sized icon for the button, for example. Mm-hmm. So we have a different image lists there for small and large images. We've got this this clipboard group with four buttons here. You saw what the default layout looks like. Let's change the default layout to use this size definition called four buttons. This is just we have a built-in list of about 20 of these size definition templates. Most of them are pretty straightforwardly named, like four buttons. And they provide the optimal default user experience for how to lay out one or two or three or four or five buttons in the ribbon.
OK, so in this case, I'm using a size definition for this group that is called four buttons, because I have four buttons in this case. And then I am defining a scaling policy for this particular group. In the scaling policy, this group I'm giving an ideal size as medium. So the different sizes that you can specify are pop-up, small, medium, and large. And in this case, I'm selecting medium for this. And let's see what happens.
So basically, you can control the different layout within the ribbon layout as much as the space that it has to expand or...
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. As the window width gets smaller, the groups in the ribbon will downshift to smaller sizes to fit within the available space they have. And that scaling policy for the tab controls the order in which the different groups will scale down. Right now, we only have one group. In a little bit, we'll add some more filler in there, and we'll see how the scaling policy works.
So this is how it looks like in the medium size for that particular size definition that we used. So we have the paste button, which comes as a large button, and the cut, copy, delete as small buttons. So we'll show how you can play with the layout and the scaling more of that later on.
So this is the four-button group and definition, right? What other type of size definition do we have?
Well, most of them are pretty straightforward based on the number of buttons or controls that would appear in the group. And what they really provide for you is like an optimal resize experience. So what you saw there was four buttons, where the first button gets the large prominent treatment on the left, and the next three get the smaller secondary treatment. The five buttons has a very similar but slightly different rescaling behavior built into it. Those go all the way up to 11 or 12 buttons. And then there are some more exotic layouts that are specific to galleries and input controls.
So I added more groups I used a size definition of one button in one case and three buttons in another case and five buttons in another case. So I'm adding save group and print group into the ribbon, and in the scaling policy, I'm going to provide a ideal size for all of this. In this case, I choose to use the large size for each of them. Let's see what happens.
So are these scaling policies are prefix? Can a user or developer define his own scaling policy?
Well, you definitely define your own scaling policy right there in the markup. I think what you're really asking is, can you define your own layout and how the controls within a group layout rescale?
Yes.
And the answer to that is yes, too. The markup for that's a little more complex, and we don't have any prepared demos here to show, but it is possible.
Yeah, well, just storage in the SDK.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we see here?
So we see the four buttons group here, and the second group is the one button group that we added into the markup, and then we have the three button group that we added. That's a save document group that we added. We added a print document group with the five buttons. And we can go back to the markup here. And this shows the four button group that we originally had, the one button, three button, and five buttons groups that we just added. And they all show up now in the ribbon.
Cool. So we've seen the basic scaling and layout of the ribbon, right? But if I'm gonna ask you right now to change the width of the windows, the ribbon doesn't really change. The layout stays fixed, right? So how can we? Ribbon acts differently,
right?
Mm-hmm. So how can we achieve that?
Specified a scaling policy here, but so far all we've specified is the initial size or the ideal size of each group in the tab. So Sebastian is just going to add a couple lines here below the ideal sizes to indicate sort of a pecking order, the sequence in which the groups will be scaled down to smaller sizes as the available width of the window decreases.
So the order here is important.
Yeah, the order for this part of the scaling policy is important.
So I just added a scaling order from medium to small size for the clipboard chunk here.
Okay, so now you saw the clipboard chunk, the labels disappear off the small buttons. That's what happens when it goes to the small layout.
Okay, I'm going to add more scaling to the group, and we can actually see what the effects are for this one. So let me add in this case, I want to make that group go to a pop-up size, which is the smallest possible.
So then when you're going to resize the application, eventually the group simply going to disappear at the end.
Yeah, this group actually become
collapse.
A pop-up.
It's collapsed into a single.
Yeah. And if you click on it, it will show the largest size that you used for this group.
There's another interesting thing to point out here is that you notice the icon disappeared for the clipboard group, but we never defined an image at all for the clipboard group. And so you may have been wondering, if you look at the markup, why we're assigning command names to things like tabs and groups in the ribbon. Even though you don't normally think of those as commands, they're not like buttons where when you click on them, we'll fire an execute event handler. But they are similar to other mm-hmm. commands in the ribbon in the sense that they have resources bound to them. Mm-hmm. So assigning a label title to the tab and the group obviously makes mm-hmm. sense, but it also makes sense to assign images
yeah.
to the group.
That's a very good point. And even though they don't execute anything, they actually have an enable-disable state as well.
That's also true, yeah.
More than the resources that they have.
Yeah, and groups, whole groups can be added to the QAT. Not many people realize that. But a group is very similar to any other button in that you can just add it to the QAT.
So just for the folks out there who doesn't know what QAT, what is the QAT?
That's the quick access toolbar.
And it's the little thing.
Yeah, the little thing in the upper left. So if you right click on the group label there where it says clipboard, the group label, yeah, you can see the whole group gets added. And it behaves just as it did in its pop-up state.
So this is really nice. You can actually take a whole group and just add it to the quick access toolbar. But the file menu is still like empty, right? So how can we change that?
The application menu. We haven't added anything to the application menu yet. If we flip over to the next next sample, we can show what the markup looks like for the application menu. There's a simple little chunk. You can just uncomment that.
Okay, so in application menu, so I'm just adding adding one control into the application menu. And application menu is composed of a bunch of menu groups. And in this case, I have just one menu group and one control in it. And let's go and see what it displays. And for all of these, all of these commands that I'm using, I already defined a command for this in the command session. For this exit, I have a new command for it.
All right, so we have a large image for the exit command.
Yeah. And now we have an exit command in the application menu.
But so you didn't write any code behind for it, right?
No, I didn't write any kind of code behind for it.
It doesn't exit. So it still doesn't exit.
Okay. Right, and you can basically put in the application menu any commands that you want. So you can put other commands like save or print that you already defined.
Exactly. So that's exactly what I'm going to do now. So I'm going to add another menu group, and I'm going to take all of this save document groups controls into the application menu, because these controls probably should really belong to the application menu.
Yeah.
And this is going to show another thing, that is you can have the same command used in different places in the ribbon. So in this case, the same save command is used in the application menu and in the ribbon.
So why can't we actually use the same group? I mean, we already defined the group. This is a group and this is a menu group. How can't we just bind the name and let the ribbon do the magic behind the scenes?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, you know, we could have gone that way. You think of these as elements with properties in a XAML model. A group has certain properties in the context of being in the ribbon that wouldn't really apply to being in the application menu. Things like the size definition templates that we've been experimenting with, for example, that's a property on the group element, but it wouldn't apply, for example, when you're hosted within the application.
It doesn't make sense to put it on the application menu. Right. So we just take the basic construct.
Like, so we have menu group instead, and menu group has different properties that apply in a different context.
Yeah, the application menu is composed of a bunch of menu groups. The tab is composed of a bunch of groups. So it's a different constructs, but they all have a different visual elements. So in this case, we have two menu groups in the application menu. So the save menu group and the exit menu group.
A menu group is the same element that you would use in other contexts, like in a drop-down button or a split button. Mm-hmm. We'll see some of those controls in a minute.
And the nice thing that you say for developers, many developers have their own own menus and their own file application menus, mm-hmm. that they actually need to write the code behind to propagate that the same event will go to the same handler at the end. And basically the ribbon takes care of that for us.
Yeah, the ribbon is a commanding framework that helps enforce that kind of commanding architecture for your application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in this case, the same save command is used in this control in the application menu and in here in the tab. So both of them will be going to the same command. So the code behind doesn't need to know whether it was in the tab or in the application menu.
Right. Okay, so we've seen the same command being used in the ribbon, in the group, and in the application menus, right? So these are the same commands. Where else can we use these commands?
Right, well, as I mentioned at the beginning, the our commanding framework's about more than just what you think of as the ribbon. We also have support for what we call context pop-ups. Context pop-ups are these things you saw in Office 2007, where they're like a context menu accompanied by a little mini toolbar. We support those as well. So Sebastian's just opening up a new version of the application where he uncommented a block for the mini toolbar. And those are the same labels and the same icon resources that are used to populate the ribbon and the quick access toolbar that are used here in a different commanding context.
Yeah. So in this case, I created a toolbar with the same commands as the clipboard commands. And I used the same commands as the print document group here to create a context menu. And this set of context pop-up is acting as one group, one context pop-up. Let's go and see the code that I just added to display that. So the mini toolbar is where I create the toolbar. So I just duplicated the controls from the paste command or the clipboard command. And for the context menu, I duplicated all the controls from the print document group. And then I created a context map where I specify which context menu to use and which mini toolbar to use. And then the context map need a command that you need to so that you can actually invoke this context map from the code.
Yeah, so you have to write a couple lines of code to do that. As the ribbon platform, we don't try to intercept mouse messages or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So there you can see the button down.
Yeah, in this case, I intercepted the right mouse button down. And I get the view of the view object of the of that contextual UI using the same command that we specified in the ribbon markup, and then on the contextual UI, I ask it to show at the location that I specify here, and with that, it will show at that location.
Cool. So. This is very nice. I mean, you can get all this basically for free, right? You just need to define your markup. Mm-hmm. And again, all the commands will eventually go to the one location where you will handle it as a developer.
That's the idea. No more writing hundreds of lines of code for owner draw menus. You can just accomplish it all with a few lines of markup.
So beside the context pop-up and the ribbon, as we've seen, what other controls can we host in the ribbon?
Well, we have a built-in suite of controls. Sebastian can show some of them here. One of the downsides of being a all-encompassing intent-based commanding framework is that we don't allow just arbitrary custom controls to be hosted in the ribbon. We do try to enforce the same guidelines for theming and accessibility across all the controls that are hosted in the ribbon. So we have a built-in palette of controls: button, toggle button, split button, drop-down button. All the normal controls you'd expect to find in an Office-style ribbon.
So in this case, I replaced the paste button that we had with a split button that composed of two buttons, a paste and a paste special. And let's see what happens. And that's the only change I made in the markup. And the button became a split button here, and you can see that the paste button, the original paste control, is inside the menu that drops down. And I have another command, another control here that uses a command that is not defined yet. And I already added two more controls here, a checkbox and a toggle button. And these are in a new group. And let's see what happens. And here is the checkbox that I added. So it's functional visually. And the toggle button that I just added to this new group.
There are more controls that are complex, like a combo box and galleries is probably the most complex control. what's interesting to note about those is that in the markup, they really aren't that much more complex than a button or a toggle button. You're just you're providing the placeholder for those galleries in the markup. You don't actually provide the content of the galleries in markup. The idea behind galleries and combo boxes is that you can populate the content dynamically at runtime.
So what we've seen so far, basically, this is all the XAML that we need to get the ribbon to act as it is with the layout and how it functions. And what now is the developer work actually is to intercept the events and handle the business logic behind it. But that's basically what the application has to do. I mean, this ribbon is really like a one big platform for commanding. This is really nice. Any words for closing?
So here we created a ribbon, visually a ribbon, with all the controls and the layout and the behavior and the layout. Now an application wants to intercept some of the events when the control changes or the control is clicked, and that needs to be handled in the code, and that we are going to cover in a later session.
Right, so watch out for future segments on the ribbon. We're going to cover actually how the code behind, let's say, that actually handles that markup. Okay. Sean, Sebastian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great having you there.